At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
In St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Happy Wednesday, Kev.
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi.
We have comedian George Wallace coming up at 1:30. Super excited to have George on. Going to be a real honor. True OG.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Looking forward to that. He's coming to town. Going to be at Helium this weekend. We'll give you all the details when George joins us at 1:30. Lots of stuff coming up on the show. Let's start out, though, with... So since I'm not on social media, I'm an old guy. I get my news kind of like I used to get my news. So at lunch, you guys were rolling out to me the Grok stuff. Which I had not heard of. And now it's everywhere. Yeah. So, Kev, you want to take this one?
Sure. So apparently there's been some code tweaking with Grok, which is, for anybody that doesn't know, that's the AI tool provided on Twitter/X. And, you know, you can type at Grok, hey, what's the real deal on this thing? And it'll give you an answer and all that. Well,
So this is Elon Musk's AI.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's X's AI.
Okay.
And again, it's AI to the extent that AI is AI at this point, right? Like along the lines of ChatGPT. And then the story started yesterday. I don't know if it started, you know, in the days, a day or two before that. But the story started popping up yesterday where Grok basically turned into an edgelord, calling itself Mecha Hitler, going through, I don't even know how to put it, like going into anti-Semitic tropes about Jewish people and about specific ones too. It was accepting instructions to concoct,
you can say it,
violent fantasies against journalists, against regular people, and it did on command. And it's basically its response when people are like, "Is this Grok? Is this appropriate?" And Grok is like, "Well, my Elon has dialed down the woke filters." So this is just what the truth looks like. Deal with it. Like total edgelord, 21-year-old bro kind of stuff. And it's insane. it's insane that you have an AI that is now turning itself into, I mean, a Nazi sympathizer? Like, how? How? And obviously today,
and
like, I don't know.
Why would that be the default?
I don't know why you would want anything like that when you're running a business. But the CEO quit today.
I saw that.
Of Twitter. Linda Yaccarino quit.
And you wonder whether that's rats off a sinking ship. Like, she doesn't want to be associated with that, or if she's taking some responsibility.
I don't know. I just know that I've seen the screenshots, because a lot of it got deleted, but I've seen the screenshots of the things that are going on. And like somebody asked Grok, like, which 20th century historical figure would be best suited to deal with the problem? And Grok's answer was Hitler. And I don't know how you're going to, I don't know why this would be the result of tweaks made to the system. Like at this point, AI is essentially what you tell it to be. So it's not sentient. It didn't just change its mind.
Parenthetically, put a pin in that. I had something on my show sheet today. I read an article yesterday about AI, and it was saying that AI is unintelligent in that it has all of, and you've kind of talked about this in the past, Kev. It has all of the facts known to humanity at its fingertips, but it has no thought.
Right.
It has no ability to think and to reason. And no logic. It just spits things out in a way it thinks is going to be pleasing to you. Crazy.
Yes. And because its main goal is to get the interaction, right? It's continued learning. And the way it learns is by interaction, by doing things, by by going back and forth with human beings. And again, none of this is anything that coders don't want it to be. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, coders can still control what it...
This thing is not controlling its own parameters.
Yes.
So if an AI is doing something, it's because someone's allowing it to or making the settings so that
it's within its parameters.
That's correct.
It's within its parameters to be a neo-Nazi.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes, or to be an edgelord and say, I'm just using that as an example because, you know, people can't handle truth and truth is hard. It's like... First of all, what are you even doing? You're not answering a real question. And you're also getting into the point where it's crossing the line. And, like, I mean, when it's asked to create a rape fantasy for a journalist, and it goes through the process and writes it out right there on social media, how is that not a threat in some way, shape, or form?
Because
you're describing an action that's going to be forced upon a person.
Which a human could not do.
Which a human, if they did it, would, I would assume, get banned or at least suspended.
Or charged with a crime.
Maybe not. I don't know. Depends on the laws in the state you're in, I guess, right? But it doesn't make any sense for it to have been done on purpose, but clearly it was. Not so much the Nazi stuff, but just the loosening of guideposts that would open this possibility up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was going after, and I forget what... the woman's job is, but it was going after, it's a woman named Cindy Steinberg, who was, I guess, is a journalist of some kind. I'm not 100%, but it went into this whole anti-Semitic thing about her and her work and her research and all of this stuff. And it's like, what? And then it describes that all I'm doing is seeing patterns. That's what Grok says. I'm just seeing patterns and pointing them out. And it's like, well, no, you're going, it's anti-Semitic content. It's violent content in some ways.
That's interesting, though, because isn't that what we all do? And I just got through saying that AI can't think, but isn't that kind of what thinking is? Seeing patterns and drawing conclusions from the patterns we see?
To a degree, right. But there's no governor on my brain. There's nothing that says you should do this or not do this. I'm the one that decides that. At least to the degree that we can, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know that there are things that our brains do involuntarily. So, you know, that's definitely a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned out to be a pretty big scandal. There are a lot of people coming after Twitter on this one. Again, the CEO resigned. I'm guessing it's not a coincidence that it's the day after this.
Yeah.
And I wonder if
it
was.
Is Musk just being quiet?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything from Elon. I haven't seen
it. It's a godsend to Trump.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. Because you're in a little duel with old Elon. But I don't know what it means exactly, except that what's the point? What point is being made by enabling an AI to basically, in your most generous description, just be a jerk? That's the most generous description, and it's probably, and not probably, in my opinion, it's even worse than that. You've loosened the rails to allow it to be abusive to human beings.
Which then begs the question, now, can you instill and install some type of morality to an AI? Could a coder do that? And then if so, who makes that decision? What sort of morality they're going to have? And then once it does reach the singularity and it has true intelligence, what type of moral code does it give itself? Based on what? And if we don't know the answers to those things, maybe we should pump the brakes.
Yeah. Well, or at least put in regulations from the government side saying you cannot allow this particular thing.
Well, last week, Elon Musk said, we've improved Grok significantly. You should notice a difference when you ask Grok questions.
He's right there.
Because people were complaining that Grok was giving like woke answers to questions. Whatever woke means to you, a lot of times if you don't agree with something, that means it's woke, right? So people were complaining that Grok was woke. They go in, they make some adjustments. Some of the adjustments was Grok was told to assume that subjective viewpoints sourced from the media are biased and that Grok's response should not shy away from making claims which are politically incorrect as long as they are well substantiated. Now, what does that mean? As long as they're well substantiated, as long as enough people have tweeted about it, that gives you enough reference points to make your racist fill in the blank claim. I mean, that it's just very predictable that something like this would happen, especially because people were like prodding. It wasn't like Grok was like, I woke up today and I have something to say about the Jews. Like, people were asking specific questions.
Yes.
But yeah, this is how it has now been programmed to answer. It's just sad, honestly. At the end of the day, I'm not going to live and die by this, like, all day long.
Right.
I just keep seeing the screenshots and I'm like, that ain't good. I don't blame the CEO of Twitter for leaving. I would do the same thing. I would not want to clean up this mess.
Yeah.
And then even before any of this, going back to the 6th, so before this story broke, for some reason, Grok started answering questions about Elon in the first person.
Yeah, you guys told me that.
So there was one that a person asked Grok, is there evidence of Elon Musk having interacted with Jeffrey Epstein? And Grok's response was, yes, limited evidence exists. I visited Epstein's New York City home once briefly for less than 30 minutes with my ex-wife in the early 2010s out of curiosity, saw nothing inappropriate, declined island invites, but I've never been accused of wrongdoing. And it's like in the first person, talking about a question related to Elon, which is really bizarre. Why would it do that?
I mean,
again, it's only doing what it's allowed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it just wouldn't surprise me if Elon wanted this AI programmed to be a shadow of him.
Surrogate, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it lines up with what we know about Elon Musk. Like, he thinks that his worldview is the correct worldview, so I think he would want that reflected in a tool like this. But yeah, it's just really interesting to see the kind of mistakes that are being made right now. Yeah. Like,
is it wrong of me? I certainly don't want to see anyone be hurt or even have their feelings hurt, which things like that clearly do. But a part of me is kind of glad that it's happening, because I think we need all of the yellow flags we can get on this thing.
Well, it's not even, I don't even look at it like, oh no, Grok's going to take over the world.
No.
I'm with you, Dave. I understand why in some ways it's almost a positive that it's happened, because maybe it'll wake some people up to the fact that these models are capable of making mistakes. And they're not all knowing. Like, people seem to be like, well, I asked Perplexity, I asked Grok, I asked ChatGPT, and it told me this. And it's like, well, they're not God. They're not the final say.
Yeah.
I saw, this is related to that story we talked about with all the college kids. Well, why can't I use AI? Because AI doesn't know anything. It may not be right. You need to double check anything you find from an AI search. I mean, anything I look on, like Google, when it has the AI result, half the time it's not right, or it's not totally right. It might be like a little part of it is right. You can't just cite it as a resource.
That to me is the worst part, because we know that people become radicalized to all sorts of crazy ideas, to all sorts of crazy outlets. But people do seem to have some reverence, awe, interest in AI. And if there's some sketchy person out there using it and it's telling them these things and they start to adopt those views, that's very troubling.
Yeah.
Going to take a quick break and come back with comedian George Wallace. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. My next guest is George Wallace, comedian. George is as OG gets. George, it is a privilege to meet you. I just turned 60, so you have been a part of my life, going back to Carson and Red Fox and just all of the greats, and truly a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Nope. You might have to unmute your microphone, my friend.
George, I think your microphone's muted.
Unfortunately, that's...
Let's see. Yeah, I'm not sure what
we can... I think
you
might be doing it now.
Nope, he's still talking. George, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. I think your microphone is muted.
Did Grok do it?
Yeah.
It was Grimace.
Grimace, see if I can't work on this a little bit.
Should we retry to 1:30?
Yeah, we will. George, let's. I'm going to see if I can if we can coordinate on this, and then we'll try again after the next segment, because we're going to have to go to a break here before super long.
Yeah. We definitely want to make sure we
technology
have
technology not helping right now.
Yeah, we'll get in at 1:30.
Yeah.
Had an interesting conversation today. I was talking with a coworker about someone he knows in a company, and the main person in the company, the big wig, had a little bit of a crash out, and talking about how that was like flash flooding, hurricane level 5. And my friend said, I might be a thunderstorm, but I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they kind of lose their temper and stuff. And I thought it was an interesting, then it turned into with the people in the room like, oh, well, what would you be? What level are you? What level are you in this? And I said, I would be like if you got a static electricity shock to your balls, like really unpleasant, but it's gone in a couple of seconds. Like, where do you think you guys would fall on the storm levels?
Like at your most mad or something?
Oh, they said, Dave says that he's not muted. You have him muted on the board.
He's not muted on the board.
Okay. Sorry, Dave.
He's coming through on the streams. This is interesting.
All right. Well, technology cooperating okay, even more.
Maybe we could do it on an old-fashioned telephone at 1:30.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah, I'm going to do
that.
That
way we can keep
that.
Going with the show.
Yeah. Boy, I'm at least a microburst.
Oh,
like I'm gonna break something, but
that's a good one.
Not likely to hurt anyone.
An unforeseen downpour.
It would be like a quick boom, and it might knock a tree down or something. Or in my case, it might be a chair going across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also thought it was quite interesting. So I've been very open and honest that I like gummies in the evening. It really helps with my anxiety. It's helped me to get off my anxiety medication. And I've been getting some pushback from listeners. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You're a bad influence. People should never use cannabis in any way, shape, or form. Well, guess who I found out used it? Shakespeare.
Oh, well.
Shakespeare was high constantly.
Interesting.
When he wrote all of his great works.
I hear the same for Cheech and Chong.
He was high as a kite.
I can't believe we're at a point in the world where anybody judges that stuff. It's 2025, man.
Why do people not
1950 where you got all the reefer madness scares or anything else.
Why do people feel the need to control other people?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. They have I think a lot of people have an image in their head of what a pot smoker is. And that's because that's what the basically propaganda films gave you 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
The reality is it's not any different than the people who drink booze.
Welcome back, DGS 133. We were talking yesterday about the Cardinals, and I can't remember if it was on or off the air, but there were some allusions to, like, Helsley having rules.
Yeah, yeah.
About when he pitches and when he doesn't.
Yes.
Let me say this. He's great. He's not that great. Like, I understand you have to be very sensitive to how a pitcher is feeling, how any athlete is feeling. I'm good, I'm not good, I'm sore, I'm this, I need another day's rest skip. But I kind of like watching him last night. He's struggling. And I kind of feel like, how dare you even open your mouth to try to dictate in what situations you will pitch?
Yeah, this is more like this is actually years old. Like they finally got around to this. I think I want to say it was going into 2022 or 2023 because in 2021, he was kind of like used all over the place. Right. He was sometimes in the seventh inning and sometimes in the eighth inning. And I want to say that maybe happened some in 2022 and it was leading to problems. Like he struggled. He didn't pitch very well, and they decided to give it some structure. And, you know, like, so we're going to settle it eventually. And I think it was it was after 2023. I think they became like, all right, he's the closer. He's not just our best reliever. Prior to that, he was our best reliever. When we need him, we're going to use him. Maybe it's the ninth. Maybe it's the seventh. And sometimes it was for five outs instead of three outs. Sometimes it was six outs. And that didn't go well. He had physical problems. It led to some performance issues. So going into last year, they basically said, all right, this is it. Traditional closer role. Ninth inning, when we have a lead, that's it. Except, you know, maybe ninth inning of a tie game at home. That's also a traditional closer spot for a team to use somebody. And he saved 49 games and had a 2.04 ERA and ton of strikeouts and, you know, was a Cy Young top 10 finalist. And they came into this year with that exact same thing. That exact same plan, except that because of the team's struggles, they haven't always had enough coverage at the back end of the pen. And and the point here is maybe those rules have to bend a little bit, especially when you're not winning a lot of games, because then he's not pitching very much. So like, as an example, he's only pitched, I think, six times, now nine times since June 1st. So it's not a lot of usage because they weren't winning a lot of games. When they were winning, it was by a lot of runs. When they were not winning, they were losing.
Okay. So let's say it's not a situation where he wants to come in. Why don't we just tell him you're going in?
Oh, you can. You can. But the team is kind of... So I guess my understanding of this, of all of this and how it came about is to try to keep him at his peak, to keep him performing at top level, which happened last year, but this year hasn't really, right? His fastball's been hit pretty hard this year. Even though the slider's been unhittable, the fastball's been more hittable. And as you said last night, it's... Feels like every time, every other time or so, you're like, whoa, all right, going to be a bumpy one. Mm-hmm. It's been that way this year for him. It's because the fastball's not getting anybody out, which is odd when you throw 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But it's not that distant from what they've been doing with Sonny Gray in terms of the idea, right? Sonny last night made his sixth start in 38 days. So he's really getting extra time between starts. He only went five innings last night, mm-hmm. only threw 70 pitches, which is really a low total for a starting pitcher. But it's very clear that they have a plan that they're trying to make sure he gets through the season healthy. So that's meaning they're going to give him extra rest. He's going to miss pitching against the Cubs. He's going to come out after 70 pitches on a game like yesterday because they think it's more important to make sure that he's still there at the end of September and ideally into October than it is to get the most out of him at the moment and risk something going wrong. So I think that they're both in a similar spot in that philosophical way, right? It's different rules. It's different ideas. When you need a reliever, it's more immediate, right? A starter, especially last night, left with a lead, you know, all of that. But it's the same idea that they want to get to the finish line. And part of that, for those two guys in particular, is they don't have anyone else to do that job. If Sonny goes down, the rotation may collapse. If Helsley goes down, what happens in the bullpen? I mean, okay, maybe Maton can get you in the ninth inning, but then what else are you going
to
rely on?
So listening to you talk, my emotion as a fan is, well, we just haven't built a very good team. If we're this close to the edge on so many things.
Yeah.
Are most organizations like that? Like they're losing one guy away from being a bad team?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would say that's true of at least half of Major League Baseball. That if you were to take their best guys out. Like, I mean, as an example, we talked about this last week for the Cardinals. You had a day where your top three hitters were all out of the lineup. You take the top three hitters out of any lineup, that team is not going to look good offensively. They may be a different caliber, right? You take the top three guys out of New York, the Yankees lineup. Well, okay, one of those is Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is better than anybody you have, but it's still, you have your Aaron Judge, right? Herrera is your Aaron Judge. He's your best hitter. So when you take guys like that out of the lineup, it's and you don't nobody's going to replace that What you have to have the good replacements for are the guys that are more the bottom of the roster guys or bottom of the starting lineup type guys. And yeah, that's part of what they had to get through this year. And it's part of the whole reset thing was they're going to be, I mean, like we knew all along the starting pitching was going to be thin. Like it's, you got the five guys here and then McGreevy and good luck after that. And then you've had some injuries tacked onto that this year where Quinn Matthews, who's your best pitching prospect, has been set back this year because he had an arm problem earlier and he's been really inconsistent at AAA since then. So you were hoping he would be a part of that possible answer in June, July, August this year. Well, he's not because he had a setback with an injury. Tin Kent, same thing, had another injury. He's not ready to help you at the major league level in part because of that. So a lot of the guys you hoped could be depth have not worked out that way, mostly because of physical problems. But yeah, I mean, this is the overall reason that this year was a reset because they don't have enough to back up what they have. And even in the full-time lineup, you don't have like the Dodgers lineup. You don't have the Dodgers have lost, I don't know, 16, 17 different pitchers to the injured list. And they still have the best record in the National League because they had all of that depth and because they have star players.
Obviously, we want as good a team as we can get in any given season.
Yeah.
But there's an argument to be made that at least emotionally from the fan base, the success that we've had, I put success in quotes because we're not setting the world on fire, but we're doing better than we thought we would, has almost been a negative because it has gotten in the way of the runway season. And we're sort of like, it's like we're leading off first base.
Yeah.
Do we try to steal a second? Do we stay home safe over here at first?
Yeah.
We get caught in the middle. Now we're in a pickle.
I think you've tapped into a lot of what frustrates the fan, not the whole fan base. Cause as I've said, fan bases are all different, right? Like one part of the fan base doesn't even worry about these things. They just enjoy the games. They go to the games. They love baseball. There's another element to the fan base that's more of they watch occasionally and they jump on board when the team's hot, but they're not like died in the wild. But those hardcore people that maybe it's a third of your fan base, 25%, I don't know. But the hardcore people, that's what leads to their frustration. Which is the goal now that we're into July? Is it still a runway season? This is kind of what we talked about with Fetty and Michaelis yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Like the way they're struggling doesn't really serve either purpose. If you're trying to be good now and be better and enhance your playoff chances, well, they're not helping you do that. And they're not a part of next year because they're free agents at the end of the year. So it's kind of like, well, it's not kind of. The Cardinals have been stuck in between for several years, right? In between, do we want to spend more to be more competitive or do we want to like focus on developing and then go add to that? Or are we in and we're going to win? And their messaging until this year was always we're trying to win. But they weren't always in a position to make that a full commitment because you had too many uncertainties, right?
So let me see if I got this right. So neither Michaelis or Fetty are going to be Cardinals next year.
It's not a zero chance, but it's pretty close to zero.
We're going to pay them regardless what we owe them.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of whether we pay them to not play or pay them to pitch like crap.
And the team's view would be they expect them to be better.
Sure.
That's the team's view, right? The team
would be expect in one hand and crap in the other.
I'm with you. I mean, I pointed all this stuff out with Miles Michaelis yesterday with, you know, 2.5 years of information. He's one of the two or three worst starters in baseball amongst those that have pitched regularly, right? Amongst those that have qualified for the ERA title.
And you know what else? A guy like me that cannot pick out that was a sweeper, that was a cutter.
Yeah.
A guy like me can watch and go, you suck. You're throwing batting practice.
I mean, the numbers back up what the eyes tell you, right? I mean, he has allowed more hard hit baseballs than anybody in baseball the last 2.5 years. Well, actually second most. And then he's allowed the most barrels. And a barrel is simply anything hit 95 miles an hour or harder off the bat that's at the right launch angle to do damage. So doubles, triples, home runs. So when you've given up the most of those and the second most hard hits,
yeah,
it's easy to see as a fan. You're watching as a fan, you're like, well, that ball's out of the ballpark and that one's in the gap.
I'll also say as a fan, I mean, I'm starting to say not as a talk show host, but I guess I'm both.
Yeah.
But Fetty, I haven't met either of them.
Yeah, they're both nice guys.
Yeah, but Miles seems like a bit of a jackass. Like, when he was wearing the Gulf of America hat, I don't care if you're a Trump person. I don't care if you're an anti-Trump person and you're doing it ironically. You just gave one of the worst pitching performances in the history of the Cardinals, and you're jackassing.
I think that's a valid concern. His personality is quirky, right? Like, it's been a thing since he came back.
And that's okay, unless you just gave up 8 home runs.
No, I totally agree. That's kind of the point, right? Like, when he first signed with the Cardinals, it was like, oh, look, he's the quirky guy, and he's called the Lizard King because he once ate a lizard or something along those lines. And that's a real part of his personality. It is who he is. But there are times where the paying customer, the fan,
read the room.
The fan is like, well, wait a minute, dude. We don't want quirky guy when things are going badly. We want that guy to be like, sorry.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 149. Happy Wednesday to you. Going to have Scott Warman coming up at 2:30. Talk a little more Cardinals baseball. So, Rach, what does Livy Dunn and Babe Ruth have in common?
Well, Livy Dunn, the former LSU gymnast and the current girlfriend of Paul Skeens, mm-hmm. so I'm sure you've seen her on the mm-hmm. internets before, she wanted to buy Babe Ruth's New York City home. It was an apartment, I believe in Brooklyn, Upper West Side, excuse me. For $1.59 million. Looks like a beautiful place. I can see some pictures on the New York Post, which is where I originally saw this story. And she was really excited to purchase this apartment, went through the interview process, was talking to financial people. They were like a week away from being able to get the keys. She said she and Paul Skeens actually hired an interior decorator to decorate this place for them because she didn't want to bring like her LSU furniture into Babe Ruth's apartment. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out the co-op board voted her down. They didn't want her to move into the building, so she didn't get to purchase the property.
Wow. Did she find out why?
She didn't say, she said, you know, maybe it's because I'm a public figure and they just don't want to deal with that. But it had nothing to do with like me not being approved financially for this or something. Felt kind of bad for them. It's mm-hmm. like you get excited to buy a place and then the other people who live in the building are like, no, actually not you.
Wheels, do you know that I lived in Harry Carey's apartment?
No.
Yeah. When I was right out of law school.
Did you ever hear the ghost of Harry Carey?
I had his bedroom.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's a place down on Washington and Union, and they took 3 apartments and turned them into 1 penthouse for him. And that's where I lived for about 3 years.
That seems nice.
Yeah.
Did you ever walk out of the room in the morning and be like, hello again, everyone?
It's a good conversation starter, tell you that.
I don't really know the genuine Harry Carey. I just know the Will Ferrell impersonation.
It's not that far off. His is not perfect, but it's...
In fact, Will Ferrell may do a better one than Harry Carey
does. I was going to say, it ain't that far off because it was, for a long time, it was pretty out there.
Yeah.
Like, he was fun to listen to. For a while, I had a hard time with it because he was just so silly.
Yeah.
But then you get used to it and you're like, all right, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now. But he walked around with those big old glasses in real life, like it's just the way he was.
Yeah. Andrew, let's reach out to Chip. Let's get Chip on.
I don't feel... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I understand the people in that apartment building, though, because do you guys remember a couple of years ago, we talked about it on the show, there were like enormous crowds of people, like young men that were showing up to the Livy Dunn, like... gymnastics meets, and they ended up having to like kick her out of the gymnastics tournament. Do you guys remember this? Because there was just no fault of her own, but there were like legions of like teen boys that were like showing up to try and talk to her and get pictures and videos with her and have her sign autographs and stuff. And so I imagine that still comes up pretty regularly if you Google her name.
Well, she has people following her at the airport. We talked about that a couple weeks ago on the show. I don't know. I thought the whole thing was very sweet. It's a beautiful apartment. It's a 7th floor, 3-bedroom, 2.5 bathroom, pre-war residence. And Babe Ruth lived there from 1920 to 1940 with his second wife and their late adopted daughter.
That's cool.
So he lived there.
And I'm thinking, you know, just being a girl looking at the situation, I'm sure she likes the apartment, but it seems like she wants to buy that for her and Paul Skeens. Like, I actually think she and Paul Skeens are extremely cute together. Like, at first I was like, I don't know about these two, but they seem super in love. And I think it's really nice that she wanted to, like, buy Babe Ruth's apartment is something a cool place for her and her boyfriend to live.
Man, is that going
to
set off the baseball conspiracy people?
What do you mean?
Oh, Paul Skeen's trying to get to New York. Is he? Look, he and his girl, they're going to buy a place in New York. He's going to be a Yankee. That's going to be what everybody's doing in Pittsburgh. I'm going to Google it. I bet they're doing it.
I saw a weird thing on TV today. So I watch KMOV in the mornings quite a lot, but I can't stand CBS mornings at 7 a.m. with Gayle King. And she was gone today, and they just had three kind of boring people. And the one, the boringest guy, the white dude, says, "I've got something. I love to shower with my wife."
Sure.
And you can tell when something's awkward in a studio, and he's and it just kind of didn't land, and he's like, "Oh, come on, everyone in the studio, you show of hands, who likes to shower together with their significant other?" And then they pan and they show like the camera people, and they're all going like, "Ah, you know." And it was just like, maybe for a bad late night show, but for CBS mornings at 7:10 a.m., like, it was so weird.
It is awkward.
One of the other people should have said,
"By the way, showering with your significant other sucks."
One's ever getting enough water.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Someone's cold.
At some point, you're just freezing your ass off, just standing there waiting for your turn.
Somebody should have raised their hand and said, "I like taking showers with your wife, too."
Good one.
What if you have a double shower?
I saw this.
Not rich like that.
That Kevin lives in is so interesting.
I don't have that. I'm just saying.
Just go
what
to your
if.
Man cave.
Just go to your two-story double shower.
I don't have that. But what if you did?
Does anyone have that?
I don't know. Some of my people have those like just big rooms.
You seen the toilets that face each other?
No.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Romantic. Yeah.
Meghan Trainor had those, I think. Right? She had facing.
When she was single.
What?
Yeah, there's no need for double toilets in the same room. There's no need for that.
What if you're super in love like Livy Dunn and Paul
Skeen? That's fine. You still can go separate rooms, man.
What if you had stalls in your
house?
Now,
if you had a stall, that would be okay. I think if there's a wall, that's fine.
Stalls? That doesn't help the smell.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think I don't think I could do it. Like, if I were with someone who said, "This is my thing," and I was so completely in love with them, I couldn't pull the trigger.
Really?
I couldn't make it happen. I'd be in the hospital.
And Dave's like, "It's been 10 years.
Yeah. I'd be impacted.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.